Tuesday, January 23rd, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. While most of the mainstream media is surprisingly still consumed with finger-pointing and debates over the stopgap bill and the government shutdown in general, and politicians including the VP and president himself shamelessly try to capitalize by demonizing and blaming their opponents, the FBI and DOJ are exposed as the swamps of corruption they truly are, even as the story, in my opinion, is hijacked to some degree. U.S. imperialism carries on across the world, opiate overdoses surpass breast cancer, and Rex Tillerson accuses Assad, again, of using chemical weapons, again, with no proof, again. So let's get into it. Starting with the stories from yesterday, coming out of the WakingTimes.com, written by Anna Hunt, cannabis may protect alcohol users from liver disease, research shows. A new study showed that abusive alcohol users who also use cannabis are less likely to develop all types of liver disease. Go figure. Alcohol is legitimately one of the worst, most deadly substances you can put in your body today. Yet because it is supported and embraced by the cacistocracy, these horrifying effects are completely ignored. And we have touched on this topic quite a bit on The Last American Vagabond and really tried to highlight the reality behind cannabis and how it has been completely manipulated for clearly profiteering and corporate interests. But what we're seeing here is yet another example of how cannabis can actually stop the use of the kind of substances that are wholly supported by the government. And whether that's weaning you off of opiates or any kind of other things we can talk about. The idea here is that cannabis is a very positive, very helpful plant that is being demonized for very politicized and financial reasons. So this is just another positive effect we can add to the growing list. But we should always point out that nothing is positive in excess, everything in moderation. But cannabis is clearly less dangerous than alcohol and cigarettes, the two most widely used substances in the United States. And one that has risen the charts rapidly, alarmingly in recent years is opiates. And despite the show of effort to stop the most deadly issue facing Americans today, the issue of opiate abuse and overdose has continued to increase. Jumping into the next story coming out of naturalblaze.com by Paul Phillips, opiate drug overdose deaths now higher than breast cancer in the USA. Despite the fact that the US has about 5% of the world's population, it consumes about 80% of the opiates. And interestingly enough, about 90% of the world's opium comes from, surprise, surprise, U.S.-occupied Afghanistan. And it's also important to note that production of opium in Afghanistan had almost completely ceased, yet once the U.S. invaded, occupied, it skyrocketed. Go figure. So this is a very interesting one to point out that this is something that, regardless of the big fancy show they're trying to put on about stopping this and discussing bills and whatever else is going on in the puppet show of Congress today, is that opiate abuse has continued to increase at alarming rates. And it is now pretty much one of the worst issues facing this country. And again, we have to realize how much we are actually using. When you look at the world scale, how much is being used in this country is alarming. And it highlights the clear point that this is a U.S. issue and is being manipulated by our politicians because their pockets are being filled. And this is something that is verifiable and something we have pointed out many times in the past. Moving on to the next story coming out of ZeroHedge.com, DOJ begins probe of missing anti-Trump FBI texts. We'll leave no stone unturned. Following the not entirely surprising news at the end of last week that the FBI, quote, failed to preserve 5 months of text messages between various anti-Trump agents, Attorney General Jeff Sessions revealed today that the Department of Justice has launched a full investigation into this debacle. Yeah, right. I mean, this is something that is ridiculously absurd when you really understand what's been going on lately. And to see that this kind of faux effort to jump in and we're going to take care of it, the corruption and the deceit going on in these organizations, these institutions, is astounding. And I highly doubt whether anything's actually going to happen. Now, to summarize, they noted this in the article, which is very frustrating and interesting that we also noted on yesterday. So the IRS emails, missing and likely deleted. Clinton emails, deleted. NSA emails, deleted. And now thousands of FBI texts, deleted. I mean, we just have to realize there is clearly a purge of information going on here and that no one is being held accountable. So perfectly moving into the story from today, coming out of ZeroHedge.com, FBI agents discussed, quote, secret society within DOJ and FBI working to undermine Trump. Big surprise. Congressional investigators learn from a new batch of text messages between anti-Trump FBI investigators and a, quote, secret society of folks within the Department of Justice and the FBI may have come together in the immediate aftermath of the 2016 election to undermine President Trump, according to Representative John Ratcliffe, who has reviewed the texts. But don't worry, because the DOJ is known for its honesty, right? And as Sessions said, he'll leave no stone unturned. It's just like we discussed with Hillary Clinton and the fact that they're supposedly investigating her, but that story just kind of fell off the map. These people are not being held accountable. And these shows of leaving no stone unturned is just, it's just a show for the people to make you feel like something's happening. And really the hits just keep on coming. Coming out of the next story from Zero Hedge, quote, jaw-dropping text message by FBI agents suggests no Trump collusion with Russia. Just hours after the first report of a, quote, secret society of folks within the DOJ and the FBI, another blockbuster text message appears to have emerged. As Weber summarized, Senator John Johnston tells me he's discovered a text message from Peter Strzok 2 days after the Mueller investigation in which he questions whether he wants to be a part of it because he believes there's nothing there, no collusion. The text message reads, "You and I both know the odds are nothing. If I thought it was likely, I'd be there no question. I hesitate in part because of my gut sense and concern that there's no big there." At this point, the whole thing is beginning to stink. What we should take from this is that the government lies, cheats, and manipulates at every turn from both sides of the aisle. Everything happening truly seems like a soap opera, like some made-for-TV drama. And there are really two likely possibilities, in my opinion. Either these agencies are truly corrupt, inept, and deceitful, or this is all playing out for the people to eagerly watch and be distorted and distracted by as the greater geopolitical agendas are carried out, such as the U.S. claiming yet again that Assad used chemical weapons on his people in Damascus. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson has just said that Russia is partly to blame for a suspected chemical weapons attack in rebel enclave in Syria. I mean, this story is, first of all, is being completely ignored, as well as the developing war in Syria between Turkey and U.S.-backed forces, which I'm still on the fence about whether this is something that behind planned or this is really just an attack between two allies. But this, we have to begin to see here that this is something, first of all, before I get away from the Syria story, the being blamed as some kind of a chemical attack, this has happened so many times, this circling back on the same old rhetoric with absolutely no proof. Not only would it not benefit Assad to carry out something like this, the proof has never backed up these accusations. So to see it happen again is just ridiculous. And my guess is it's being used again for some kind of a geopolitical move. But really, it's interesting that so many things are being ignored by this text message back and forth story, which I truly do think that they want us focused on these salacious text messages, an internal battle of the government, which is important. But I always argue that they take existing issues just like this that was likely real and is a real story that have gotten out for one reason or another, and they manipulate them to serve a larger agenda. We just must be very cognizant of this and not allow them to push this and create this soap opera story where we continue to follow while they carry out other agendas. This is a real story, and it is important to note the idea that the FBI and the DOJ are wildly corrupt and that they've been covering and manipulating information. But as the story goes forward, it is beginning to seem like it's being pushed in a certain direction. So just be very wary of this. The next story coming out of the dailysheeple.com, written by John Rappaport, the secret house memo and rescue from above. The theme, something starts off as fairly reasonable and then is blown out of proportion. Purportedly, the memo will reveal that Democrat operatives, some inside the FBI and DOJ, feloniously used a fake and fabricated Trump dossier to obtain a warrant to spy on the Trump team during and after the 2016 presidential election. From this pattern, some people are expressing hope that the memo will achieve everything from jailing Hillary Clinton and James Comey to draining the whole swamp. They claim the memo contains the answer to who murdered Seth Rich, as well as the outline of a 16-year plan to destroy the U.S. It's called rescue from above. It happens every time. In this case, what starts out as a possibly explosive secret memo, which could indict key members of the FBI and DOJ and DNC, including Hillary Clinton, and exonerate Trump from charges of Russia collusion, becomes a Masonic mission from higher powers to save the country and the world. And the key is, all people have to do is sit back and wait. Rescue will happen. Which really draws parallel to the whole QAnon story. But what we have to begin to see here is that these things are Well, first of all, that the memo story in general has kind of just fallen off the map as well, which is crazy when you think about the accusations and the claims that were made around it. Doesn't mean it still won't materialize, but it seems pretty ridiculous knowing that Trump and any number of them could make this public, yet they don't. But it's very interesting that this story draws right into the same idea, that just wait, it's coming. Do nothing because we're going to save you. And that's really how all of this tends to align, is that it seems that we're being told to wait on these higher powers. And stupidly enough, it's all of the same politicians and people that have lied to us verifiably throughout the years. So this is very interesting to see. I truly think that the memo in general is one big psyop. There's probably information in there somewhere that could be used, just like we talked about with the text messages. It starts with a real story to some degree, maybe not, but that they're being used after the fact and being manipulated. So I think a lot of this is one big show meant to distract from the much larger issues at play. And speaking of that, coming into the last story, coming out of consortiumnews.com, written by Nicholas J.S. Davies, a national defense strategy of sowing global chaos. In the new U.S. national defense strategy, military planners bemoan the erosion of the U.S.'s competitive edge. But the reality is that they are strategizing to maintain the American empire in a chaotic world. Presenting the 2018 National Defense Strategy of the United States on Friday at the Johns Hopkins University, Secretary of Defense James Mattis painted a picture of a dangerous world in which U.S. power and all of the supposed good that it does around the world is on the decline. Our competitive edge has eroded in every domain of warfare, air, land, sea, space, and cyberspace, he said, and it is continually eroding. What he could have said instead is that the U.S. military is overextended in every domain, and that much of the chaos seen around the world is a direct result of past and current military adventurism. Further, he could have acknowledged, perhaps, that the erosion of U.S. influence has been the result of a series of self-inflicted blows to American credibility through foreign policy disasters, such as the 2003 invasion of Iraq or the invasion of Afghanistan or any number of things you could mention. There were also two important words hidden between the lines, but never mentioned by name in the new U.S. national defense strategy: empire and imperialism. It has long been taboo for U.S. officials and corporate media to speak of U.S. foreign policy as imperialism, or of the U.S. global military occupations and network of hundreds of military bases as an empire. The streams of Orwellian euphemisms with which the U.S. officials and media instead discuss U.S. foreign policy do more to obscure the reality of the U.S. role in the world than to describe or explain it. Hiding imperial interests behind ever more elaborative fig leaves, as British historian A.J. P. Taylor described European imperialism doing the same a century ago. As topics like empire, imperialism, and even war and peace are censored and exercised from political debate, U.S. officials, subservient media, and the rest of the U.S. political class conjure up an illusion of peace and domestic consumption by simply not mentioning our country's 291,000 occupation troops in 183 other countries, or the 39,000 bombs and missiles dropped on our neighbors in Iraq, Syria, and Afghanistan since Trump took office. The 100,000 bombs and missiles dropped on these and other countries by Obama, and the 70,000 dropped on them by Bush Jr., have likewise been swept down a kind of real-time memory hole, leaving America's collective conscious untroubled by what the public was never told in the first place. But in reality, it's been a long time since U.S. leaders of either party resisted the temptation to threaten anyone, anywhere, or to follow through on their threats with fire and fury bombing campaigns, coups, or invasions. This is how empires maintain a credible threat to undergird their power and discourage other countries from challenging them. Trump is not even pretending to respect diplomacy or international law as he escalates Bush's and Obama's wars and threatens new ones of his own. But maybe Trump's nakedly aggressive policies will force the world to finally confront the dangers of U.S. imperialism. A coming together of international community to stop further U.S. aggression may be the only way to prevent an even greater catastrophe than the ones that have already befallen the people of Afghanistan, Iraq, Somalia, Honduras, Libya, Syria, Ukraine, and Yemen, and many more. But what will be the final cost if they keep ignoring it even now? That is a question I urge all staunch supporters of Trump to ask themselves and consider the lives of the average civilians taking the brunt of the ongoing U.S. imperialism under the guise of protecting American interests. And this goes far beyond just those supporting Trump. But the point is that right now that seems to be the largest demographic being blinded by the rhetoric being pushed out and continuing this authoritarian push and imperialistic push around the world. But we all need to begin to open our eyes to what's actually happening and how much of what goes on is meant to distract us from the larger issues at hand. For more information on the topics discussed today, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sites in the show notes below. And as always, question everything and come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.